census data is out, and it places Milwaukee as one of the most impoverished big cities in the country, with nearly a third of the city living in poverty in 2012.
Some people respond thinking it's a Milwaukee problem, but Mayor Tom Barrett disagrees. He says it's a regional problem that needs a regional solution. He's here with us now to talk about why that is. Mayor Barrett, welcome to the show.
It's great to be joining you.
What do you make of the new census numbers about poverty in Milwaukee and the area?
Well, sadly, it's not shocking, and it shows why we have committed ourselves in the last 9 years to a very proactive approach in working with the private sector to create jobs near neighborhoods where they're needed most. Neighborhoods like the Menominee Valley, our Reed Street Yards, which is on the near south side, and the 30th Street Industrial Quarter, because we have lost a lot of jobs. And in the manufacturing downturn of the 80s and 90s, we lost many jobs. And, of course, in the Great Recession, those citizens and residents who had the lowest incomes were hit the hardest. So we understand that because of housing patterns, because of transportation patterns, because of employment patterns, that the majority of low-income people in southeastern Wisconsin are located within the city of Milwaukee, we've got some special challenges.
You call it a regional problem. Why is that?
Well, what was interesting is if you look at this data and other data that's just come out that's similar in nature, the city of Milwaukee has approximately 29.5% of its residents living in poverty, which puts us as the city with the ninth highest percentage of people living in poverty. In sharp contrast, if you look at our suburban friends, they've got the third lowest percentage of people living in poverty. And even more striking, and I just saw an analysis that did this, if you do the ratios, if you compare the two ratios, southeastern Wisconsin, the Milwaukee metropolitan area is the only area where that factor is greater than four. In other words, what we have here is we have huge economic segregation that's occurring in this metropolitan area with low-income people located substantially and significantly in the central city, in the city proper itself. And we can draw lines and we can have different borders, but the fact is that this is something that has an impact on the entire region.
What kind of solutions would you like to see at a regional level to tackle poverty in Milwaukee?
Well, again, I just want your listeners to know that at the city level, we are extremely proactive. I think that's the first place it has to be. And I've already mentioned the Menominee Valley, the Reed Street Yards, the 30th Street Industrial Quarter. But there are other places where we're working at the city level. We're working to reduce teen pregnancy. We're working to do what we can for job readiness through workforce development. And obviously, we're working to have safer neighborhoods. That has an impact on this as well. However, with the housing patterns that you have in southeastern Wisconsin, with the lack of public transportation to jobs that are located outside of Milwaukee County, I don't think that these numbers are shocking. And when I say they're not shocking, they're shocking in the sense that they're the worst numbers in the country in terms of this economic segregation. But I don't see how people can be surprised because the strategy of separating low-income people from middle-income and upper-income people has been a strategy that's been in place for decades here.
There are probably people listening in the suburban area around Milwaukee or beyond thinking, why is this my problem? We're doing okay here. Why should I worry about lower-income people over in Milwaukee? How would you make that case to them?
Well, frankly, I could make the same case if I weren't the mayor in the neighborhood that I live in. I live in a nice middle-class neighborhood, and I could say, well, this isn't my problem. These are poor people who live on the other side of the park, or on the other side of the tracks, or on the other side of the county divide. And we can always find ways to separate each other. But the strength of this region is going to be dependent, I think, in the long run, based on not only how well the wealthiest people do, but how well middle-class people do and how well low-income people do. And we're seeing signs of this nationally, because nationally what you're seeing is over the last 10 years in the 50 largest metropolitan areas in the country, the share of the population increase was about 10% in the cities, but the share of people living below the poverty level raised about 25%. So cities are increasingly asked to bear this social burden. And again, you do not want to create a situation where your central business area, your central city, when I say central city, I mean the city proper, bears this load. And that's why we've been saying, look, a Of course we should have highway construction, but you have to have mass transit alternatives. Of course there should be housing development, but you have to have workforce housing close to the where the workforce needs to be, particularly in those areas where there's not mass transit. If we don't do that, I think that's going to hamper this region economically.
Isn't one of the obstacles that if somebody in one of these low-income areas does okay, they make money, they get a good job, one of the first things they want to do is to move into a middle-class area, whether within the city or one of the suburbs? How do you contest that kind of maybe natural urge?
Well, that's the American way. And I don't argue with that. I think that that's something that, that people obviously are interested in doing. And I think everybody wants to keep up with the Joneses, and everybody wants to get ahead of the Joneses. But as a region, we have to be mindful of the challenges that occur here. And again, government policies, real estate policies, lending policies have led to a situation where the majority of people who are low income are concentrated in a geographic area that puts tremendous stresses on other aspects of this metropolitan area. So we talk about regional assets all the time, but seldom do we hear people talk about regional responsibilities. And to me, those are flip sides of the same record album.
One solution you mentioned was the idea of better regional public transportation. That can be a tall order politically. There have been regional transportation associations brought up and shot down around the state. Do you think something like that can happen where you and your neighbors work together and build up a regional public transit system?
Well, look, I wasn't born on a turnip truck, and not only is this difficult, I realize that a lot of political hay can be made in opposing public transportation, particularly opposing public transportation that gets low-income workers out of low-income neighborhoods into other parts of this metropolitan area. I know that politically that people have staked their career on making sure that that doesn't happen. The question is that the right thing? I don't think it is.
And then you mentioned the decline in manufacturing jobs, and it seems like the economic climate is such that they're not going to come back and be the main solution. What kind of sectors do you see driving recovery in Milwaukee and the region and maybe giving jobs to the people, that 29% of people in Milwaukee living in poverty?
Well, I don't sell manufacturing short. Certainly this isn't 1950 or 1960, but we still have a relatively high percentage of people who work in the manufacturing sector when we compare it to other regions in the country. So that is still a significant area, I think, for potential growth for jobs. And that's why I've created my Mayor's Manufacturing Initiative, because one of the challenges and one of the frustrations I've encountered is people who go through a training program, and then there's no job. And then I talk to employers who hire people from a training program, and they say, well, they're not qualified to do the jobs that they have. So what we've worked to do, working through our workforce development agency and the technical college, is to cut out the middleman. In other words, what we've done is we found employers who have actual jobs and said, look, we will get the people, we will help pay for the training for those specific jobs. In exchange, you hire them. Cuts out the middleman. They know they're getting people who are getting trained, and they're getting trained for real-world jobs. The people going through the programs know that at the end of this tunnel, there's going to be light. There is going to be a job. And so it's not like a training program where they feel like they've gotten a diploma at the end, but there's no job. We're trying to actually match the jobs up with the people. And we have found that that has been more successful.
Is it frustrating, in closing, to be the mayor of Milwaukee and see it show up time after time on the list of among the more poverty-stricken nations in the country?
Well, I love being the mayor of Milwaukee, but it certainly is frustrating to see what I perceive as a problem that we could address more readily if there was more cooperation and if there was more of an understanding that this isn't the problem that lies on one side of the tracks or the other side of the tracks, that we're all in this together.
Mayor Barrett, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, thank you very much.
That was Tom Barrett, Mayor of Milwaukee.